tomorrow is the first day of summer. It will feel like it. 89, but again, humidity very, very nice. Less than 50%. So it's going to be hot. That's what happens in late June and July and August. We get all that. If we can avoid the humidity, that's the best part. We will until Thursday. Thursday, 90, humidity 60%. So that's going to feel like summer. But again, a 90-degree day, if that's on the forecast, Keith, we'll take a look at that. And remember, you can get into the pools. Bryant Park Mills.
Yeah, the special temperature
after 4 o'clock, that's right. Yeah. Get you in for half price. That's our only day this week in the 90s forecast. On Friday morning, thunderstorms will start rolling. 90% chance. Those continue in the evening, an 80% chance. So we don't want to wash out the weekend. We're just going to wash out Friday, it looks like. As of right now, again, we've got a couple days to fix this forecast. But we'll trade in that 91 on Thursday for 81 on Friday, 83 on Saturday, 81 on Sunday, and then 76 on Monday. So that's a very benign start to the first weekend of summer. And looking ahead, 15 days, stretch it out as far as it goes. 87 for hot. July 4th Tuesday. I'm still you know what? Tim Mayer's on the phone with us this morning. He is the Bloomington City Councilman that checks in with us. Tim, I need a resolution. I need a proclamation. I need a directive. I need something. We need to get this 4th of July parade and party to make a four-day weekend here. We can't do the go to work Monday, stop on Tuesday, go back to work on Wednesday. That just doesn't feel American, does it?
It doesn't at all. No, no.
Now, we only ask you to wield your powers for good.
That's
so
right.
Would this be something that you would be willing to – well, who would want to go to work on Monday?
There you go.
And then have the holiday on Tuesday, then go back
that's
on Wednesday.
That's reasonable.
So
you
could – That confuses people too much, don't you think?
I agree with you 100%. I know the
Especially
birthday.
By Wednesday, you're so befuddled, you don't know what you're doing.
Well, Wednesday is Monday because
you're
going back to work, and it's. I understand America's Independence Day shouldn't change. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the holiday festivities should either be on a Friday or a Friday, and then we
you
get
like
the long
weekend. Weekends.
That's exactly
yeah, Monday
right.
Monday or Friday?
Why,
Monday, okay.
Why fight it?
Okay.
Why fight it?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody, Tim, if we commissioned a study like you did for the deer or something like that, if we asked 10,000 people and said, hey, if you would prefer a day to have the Thanksgiving festivities on the 4th of July.
That precedent is already there because Thanksgiving's on a Thursday. We get Friday off, too.
See, that's the thing. That's the model we should be
Follow
using.
Follow that. All right, Tim, it's your
run
charge.
Run with this, Tim. I want campaign promises. Read my lips.
Yard
no
signs.
New taxes.
Yard signs.
I would propose Monday. You're talking Friday. I'd say Monday would be a better day.
Yes. Monday works. That is if we have Tuesday the 4th off
then we
as
get
well.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
That's fine. I'm not
Yeah, but then I'm going to be a wreck on Wednesday.
But that's fine because it's a short week. You only have 3-day week. You have to think this out, Keith. You have to look at this.
I'm thinking about maybe if I owned the business, the employees coming in
on
Wednesday.
You can then,
what
then
about
you can,
productivity?
There you go.
I just have to wonder.
The 4-day work week, 32 hours. Give us your best 32 hours.
Mm-hmm.
No Facebook for any of you when you're there. Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. The city councilman does check in with us most Tuesday mornings to keep our eyes and ears on what's happening in city government, where Tim can't just wield his pen that is mightier than the sword and make this proclamation happen. We can all dare to dream together. But the 4th of July parade, Keith Klein and the Minister of Culture, Jim Inman, will handle that on Tuesday, July 4th. We don't want to confuse you, and we won't. We can have some fun with it. But remember, the Bloomington Brass Band will kick everything off at the Monroe County Courthouse Square at 9 a.m., and the parade will start shortly after, or right around 10 o'clock. By the time it snakes around to wherever you're sitting, that will depend on how it is. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I am good. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, as always. We missed you last week. You were out and about. So we have a couple. We have let's just roll back to last week's meeting because the council.
Well, last week's meeting, the key event was the adoption of the housing unit up on Vernal and Goerlie Pike.
Right.
And we had 8 members, and we split the vote 4-4. So basically what we were doing was reviewing that project and potentially offering a tax abatement. But because the vote was 4-4, it failed, and the developer did not get what they were looking for. So I'm not sure where they stand now, whether they'll go forward as they can with build by right, you know, or maybe come back with a different proposal. I'm not sure.
What caused the vote to be split 4-4?
I think some members had concerns about the definition of economic revitalization area, ERA, and that led them to feel that it wasn't necessary to grant that tax abatement, even though the abatement was based on a number of affordable housing units within the complex itself. I believe it would have been, they were offering 6, and I think there was some negotiation pushing it up as many as 8. But I guess the folks who voted against it decided that it wasn't worth that tax abatement. So there it is. It was 4-4.
And which side of the 4 were you on?
I was willing to go forward and look at the abatement. We actually would have had the opportunity to go to our meeting on the 28th and give it a final up and down, because the adoption of the economic revitalization area is a two meeting process, and that was just the first meeting. So our last meeting before we take our summer break would have been the meeting where we could have actually made the decision and would have given staff another 2 weeks to negotiate out and really refine the proposal. So that did not happen, and it's no longer on the table.
And briefly, just to help guys like me who don't understand perhaps maybe all the terminology, and an ERA is determined by whom, and the rules are flexible, inflexible?
Well, yes, and I think that was kind of the, as they say, the crux of the issue, because some members felt that the ERA definitions are basically proposed in state legislation, and they're quite frankly they're very flexible. So I think some members were concerned that even though they are in state statute, that the staff wasn't following the state statute closely enough, and they thought they're being too liberal with basically defining it as an economic revitalization area. So that's what kind of brought the vote 4-4.
In these situations, does it from talking to you all the years we've talked to you here, it always seems like these situations always get to the final hurdle or the final meeting before it kind of either goes away or doesn't go away. This seems to be different.
Well, it's only different in that the process includes that second vote. So by the vote being 4-4 and being a no action vote, you're right, it just terminated the process.
It seems like there's always more last ditch effort to make things work, whether it didn't work before, and it just seems like the process usually plays itself out where it eventually works. This seems different because we didn't get to that step.
That is true.
That's interesting. That's what it is. Yeah. And that lot remains vacant there. I drove by it the other day. It's there, and it's been there for a while, and maybe it stays there for a while.
Might be there a little longer.
Exactly right. It's kind of like the trades district there, or whatever we're calling this. It has so many names, I can't even remember what all of them are.
Technology Park.
At thetradesdistrict.com divided by square root of pi. But that's a nice green field right now, but you've got some things moving in that direction. We know that land has been built there. We heard about the Dimension Mill getting some action. Now we've got other action with TASIS going on.
Yes, well, TASIS is going to build their design headquarters there, and that was announced earlier, but it's given more legs in today's HT, so that project is going forward, and that's good news. So
we'll see some activity in multiple
places.
I think it's
the kind of activity that they wanted to see occur in that tech park anyway, so it's a good fit, and you know, TASIS has been part of our community for many, many years now, and they're good corporate citizens. So we're glad to see that happen there.
Tim, apparently the importance of all of this is that people need to see something happening there, ground broken, something going up, to start to attract others.
That's true, and I think it's hard for people to envision what something will look like without something going on. Mm-hmm. This kind of gives that a little bit of a boost. So that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, because you can't just stick a hologram up there for 20 years.
Right.
No.
Now, Tim, tomorrow night you've got special committee first, and then you're going to do some other business kinds of things.
Yeah, we have special session, and the reason for that is to allow us to introduce the ordinances and legislation that we want to hear. Later on in the same evening, so we will we'll introduce an ordinance to dispose of land on the Switchyard Park property for affordable housing, and then we will then open up legislation for pocket neighborhoods, followed by accessory dwelling units. So we'll introduce those three pieces of legislation, adjourn, and come back as committee of the whole. We will then hear those three pieces of legislation.
Does all of that come down to affordable housing kind of legislation?
You know, that's the reason for these proposals. Yes,
okay.
It is. Yeah.
In three different parts of the city.
Yeah, it's kind of a new approach that the administration is bringing forward through the planning process, and the first one is to dispose of the land to a developer that I believe it was 12 units of affordable housing that's adjacent to the Switchyard Park. It's part of the Switchyard Park property. We will convey that property to the developer. So,
help me on that, Tim, on the Switchyard Park. That was all supposed to be outdoor amphitheaters and that kind of stuff. Is this just a small portion of that?
Yes, it's actually off of Rogers Street.
Okay.
So it's in the general vicinity.
It's on the western entrance side.
That is correct.
All right.
So if you know where the warehouse is, Keith, you drive by that humongous deal,
right.
You're going to have a little
kitchen warehouse. Mm-hmm.
I know where that is.
It's going to be between that and the light at Rockport.
Gotcha.
So if you're in that area and everything will face that way, then you've got that old rail spur that goes in there. That's going to be the entrance, it seems like, into the park. And then you'll have parking and all kinds of other stuff. Going on with it. So that's exciting times. Speaking of real estate sales, the city did a good one. The city with that and bought some. Couldn't get rid of the property on West 3rd Street. What's that going to just sit there and just be owned again? Put it up for auction. You got one of them sold. You got another parcel that didn't sell. I mean, it hasn't been doing anything since you did the 3rd Street redo anyhow. So,
And I think there is some discussion. It might not be the same piece of property, but I think it may be. There's some discussion with the utilities department using part of that land for basically water distribution, you know, companies that need to fill up their tanks. That may be that area. I'm not sure.
Gotcha. But, well, at least it's, again, something that you want to go on. Because you guys don't want to be in the real estate business. We know that because it's not
typically what happens, I know that land was purchased during the redevelopment of West 3rd Street.
Right.
And it was used as a staging area, and now it's time to take it off the city's books.
Speaking of the city's books, you're going to begin a new sewer, an interceptor sewer, $6.9 million project.
That is correct.
Tell me a little bit about that, and that's going to be involved in Switchyard Park as well.
Well, the reason it's going forward right now is because, you know, they want to get that sewer interceptor in
first
before they start developing the park. So rather than build the park and dig it up again, they're putting that interceptor in. So that will run north-south from the park and go down towards the Dilman, ultimately into the Dilman plant. So, and I noticed, I just drove by on Grimes Lane yesterday, and they're out there starting to work. Yeah.
When do they see the completion of that, Tim?
I think by fall, I think.
Okay. And do you have any kind of a target on when they start actually turning the dirt for that new park area?
Well, I think they have to wait for that work
the
to
sewer.
Be done, the
right.
sewer work
okay.
to be done. But once that happens, then I think they start.
Now, the other thing we need to know from you is kind of in the vacation season and budgets and all the other things. Tell us what the city council schedule is leading into the fall.
Well, so we meet tomorrow night, and we'll go through this legislation that deals with pocket neighborhoods and accessory dwelling units and the vacation of that land to the developer. And then we will meet the following week on the 28th, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where we will actually approve or not the legislation that we are discussing right now. So the pocket neighborhoods and all that will come
up. Tim, what's a pocket neighborhood? I'm not familiar with that term.
Well, pocket neighborhood is being defined as something 1 acre. A minimum of 1 acre and a maximum of 5 acres, wherein you have smaller housing units sharing a common area. So you might have a common green with the houses around the common green, shared parking, shared green space.
Are these places that have already been developed, or are these places that are being cited for future development?
This is a proposal to allow that activity to happen.
Gotcha. So it's not like a group of people already have this and want it to be recognized as something. It's
Actually, we have two of them on the books. They're both brought forward as planned unit developments. One is, I believe, off of 12th Street, West 12th Street. It's on the north. I'm just trying to think. I believe it's on the north side of the railroad tracks. So I think that's 12th Street. And then there's one on South Maxwell Lane.
I remember that one.
Oh, yeah. And neither of those have come out of the ground yet. So, but those are the kinds of projects that this wouldn't allow to happen.
And what is the allowance part of it? It's just the design phase, or what are you giving permission to do?
Well, what you're giving permission to do is to allow that type of building to occur, development to occur.
Okay.
So, you know, you could do however many units you could do on an acre. You could, let's say, build 3 units on the edges of the property, following the specifications of the ordinance, and then having common ground in the center of the project. That would be one way to do it, to envision it. And the whole goal is to build a smaller, more affordable house and share the cost of the land.
Tiny house, tiny courtyard.
Yes.
Gotcha. So now, thank you for clearing that up for me. I wasn't sure what all of that meant. So that gets done. You get moving. What else is gonna? What else?
I think the more controversial one will be the accessory dwelling units, or typically called grandmother flats.
What is that? Is that something again? You're going to build onto your place, or is that something that you already have that you want zoned a different way?
Typically, this would allow you to, if you meet the criteria, and that would be the owner must live on the property.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the conditions, that the owner must live on the property, and use that for you know, a family member or a caregiver, something along that nature. So it can be something that is built onto the existing home, or it could be a freestanding unit, say in the backyard. And there are a lot of specifications as to how it would play out. But I think there'll be a lot of discussion on that. The Council of Neighborhood Associations has weighed in with a number of requests and concerns. So,
well, there have got to be models for this from around the country, because this is not new.
No, that's true. And I think what makes it different here is that, you know, we're in Bloomington, Indiana. We're a university community.
Right.
We are, you know, more
weird.
Than 60. More than we are weird. More than 60% of our properties are investment or rental properties.
Right, so, student oriented.
You know, we have very high rental quotient to our community, and therefore people have concerns.
Right, you certainly don't want to see them develop a grandmother's apartment, which ends up being a student rental.
That's right.
Yeah. Good point.
Right. And I think the conditions are pretty strict. So, for example, if somebody were to do that, you know, build a thing for a family member, and then the situation changes and the people sell the property,
right.
unless they could find a similar situation where the owner would be, live on the property along with that person, the law basically said, the ordinance, they said they will remove the unit. So it's nothing to go into lightheartedly.
No, exactly right.
I'm kind of guessing the neighbors will let people know that has changed.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
So then the then you close
forward,
down?
Excuse me?
Then you close down at the end of June?
Yeah, at the end of June, our meeting a week from tomorrow will be our last meeting until early August, and that's when we reconvene. And actually, we do have a internal meeting, a council work session, in late July. And I'm sorry, I don't have the dates in front of me.
That's all right.
We'll meet up in early August and go right into the budget and unified development ordinance, or the comprehensive or plan will be coming forward to the council as well. And council has already set a schedule, so they will be meeting, I believe it's Tuesdays. So we'll be meeting on Tuesdays to discuss the comprehensive plan and on Wednesdays to do city council work.
And you should find all of that at the city's website on the calendar. It should be a busy time. Absolutely right. One last thing before we let you go. You know, we can talk about this next week. I'll just put a bug in your ear. We were obviously the city is suing the state over the annexation stuff. We know that Frank Nardi is going to be the special judge from Brown County, formerly of Owen County, on that. Questions we want to ask you next week, unless you have the answer right now, I don't want to blindside you with this, is we saw in the article the city is talking about suing for attorney fees and court costs, but we also heard the mayor, John Hamilton, say that we're using all internal city lawyers for it. So I don't understand where those costs come from. Is that something you know off the top of your head?
No, I don't. Okay. I'll ask around a little bit, but on the surface of it, I mean, those are billable hours by our city attorneys, I would have to think.
So
I think that's the answer, but
the argument would be, well, they're already on staff. Why, they're already working. What other hours are we billing in addition to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then they would not be working on city ordinances or.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't understand how that works. So that makes sense. Okay, good job as always. That's all right. Appreciate that.
Hey, thank you.
Gives us a heads up, and we'll meet with you next week.
Looking forward to what did you say? 12:44.
12:44 a.m. Right. Yes.
Right.
So is this one of these? You go to sleep early, then wake up, or do you just
start now,
or do you just floor it and go right through to 12:44?
And at 12:44, you have the fireworks.
That's right.
I will say one thing. Last night before I went to bed, it was clear blue sky, and then the sky opened up.
That's right.
And poured.
I missed it all. I slept right through it. I must have been tired. We'll get caught up next week, and that'll be our fond farewell. And we'll get a recap of tomorrow night's meeting, 6:30 in council chambers, and just a reminder on our schedule update for the rest of the year.
Sounds good.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.